Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 18th day of January, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and I'm going to start off again today as we look at what's going on around the nation and the world with a headline review, because most of the real news is coming out of the Center for World Communism meeting this week at Davos, Switzerland. Or you could say the Center for World Fascism, because ultimately what we're talking about here is a form of totalitarianism that goes beyond any isms to just plain Satanism. Well, I guess that's still an ism. But in any case, we'll get there in a second, but this will help to set it up. At least 9 were killed, says a piece from Zero Hedge on the World War III front, after Pakistan launched a retaliatory set of airstrikes in Iran. In the early hours Thursday morning, says the piece, Pakistan's Air Force responded to Iran's prior cross-border ballistic missile attack against a Sunni militant group believed to be behind the Kerman City suicide bombings, and they launched fresh retaliatory strikes against alleged Iranian military hideouts. And Pakistan's leadership was said to be seething angry over Iran's, quote, unprovoked violation of its airspace. And at least 9 people were killed in the latest rocket and drone attack. And let's not forget, folks, that one or perhaps both of these antagonists are nuclear-armed powers. Item from the Communist Enclave of Denver. And this one, folks, is a little closer than your host would like, although thankfully there's a couple hundred miles of big mountains in the way. Says the Daily Mail headline, a migrant crisis has plunged Denver's main public hospital deep into the red after patients received $130 million worth of free medical treatments, i.e. that they were unable to pay for, putting Denver's main hospital, Denver Health, at a, quote, critical stage, in spite of millions of bucks worth of taxpayer subsidies. A total of 8,000 migrants, it said, in other words, illegal invaders, folks, who came to the cesspool city from Central America, have made about 20,000 total visits to the so-called health system for things like dental emergencies, mental health counseling, and childbirth, causing problems for the hospital. And deep into the piece, it notes that about 30,000 invaders have been shipped in so far, many of them bused from Texas, and about 18,000 have decided to stay. Said Denver Health CEO Donna Lynn, what I think is not being said is that Denver Health is at a critical point, and she added, we need to take this up in 2024. Because our costs exceed our revenues, we're turning down patients every day. Well, particularly, folks, those patients that actually may have lived in the area before the invasion. And while I have tremendous compassion for what's going on, continues the quote, it's heartbreaking, it's going to break Denver Health. And guess what? Anybody think that might be part of the plan? It's called Cloward Piven, and you've been seeing it writ large for quite a while now. And it's working exactly as intended. Set up a socialist system, which you know will fail, then bring in all of the things you need to put in place to make it fail, big time, so that the next step, and here comes the Hegelian dialectic part, is problem-reaction-solution. Bring in total communism and a complete command economy to fix it. Well, supposedly fix it. Next item, and if this sounds related, it's probably because it is, from Mike Adams and Natural News. He calls it an emergency whistleblower statement and a Red Dawn alert. And it comes from a whistleblower who goes by the code name Red Cell, who helped run security on the transport buses organized by the state of Texas to transport the illegal invaders to various sanctuary cities. And he says this shocking first-hand account reveals the most hardened, violent criminals from countries like Venezuela and much of other parts of South America are being strategically deposited across the United States in preparation for, well, exactly what's been planned, widespread chaos and coming civil war in this next calendar year. 2024. And one of the key statements in here comes from a question that Mike asked, saying, all right, because a lot of Texans actually support the idea that Governor Abbott is sort of, dare I say, dumping these illegals on cities like Chicago or New York or L.A. in order to try to force them to realize the depth of the problem here or the scale of the problem. But what you're saying is that oftentimes the migrants don't even end up in those cities. They're dropped off in Indiana or Illinois or somewhere in between, right? And the answer is yes, anywhere in between. So I'm just going to tell you right now, with transportation as far as that goes, that's what's happening here. They're stopping at every other state. It's not just certain locations that these people are getting dropped. And when you have the kind of people we're talking about here, that gets into a different realm. And that, folks, I'll add again, is why the term invasion really is appropriate. And understand, he said, for each bus, the people that are doing this are getting paid something like $5,000 a head. That's $250,000 per bus that's getting shipped out. Now, that's a stunning number, and as Mike notes, that's more than a first-class airplane ticket. Said Red Cell, it's a billion-dollar project. That's just what it is. It's money, man. Well, it's money, among other things, folks. But think of it this way. A lot of military missiles that are literally being wasted to try and get World War III started cost, say, $2 million a pop. So do the simple math. How many busloads of terrorists will that ship into place? About 8 or so, each of them with 50 potential terrorists. Even if it's a small fraction, that's enough for a couple of cells. Do you think a good cell of foreign invaders might be able to do more than $2 million worth of damage from a missile? Absolutely. And I guarantee you, those allowing this invasion know that. They're not stupid enough to be that blind. And that's just part of the equation. For the price of one missile, give or take, they can bring in 400 invaders. And even those that don't have malice in mind may still cost the entire U.S. economy and system, say, $2,000 a month for as long as they're here, or until the nation collapses, whichever comes first. So if you're an invading army, and if you own the Congress, the White House, the whorehouse, that is, and most of the bureaucracy of the once-free United States, that's a pretty blankety-blank and cost-effective means of completely destroying what's left of the country. Here next are two more stories that certainly beg deeper investigation, but at least from the headline standpoint, they also make the case. Biden caught red-handed, said the first one, courtesy of Ms. Shedlock and MishTalk.com, as well as Zero Hedge. Biden's been caught in a huge rigging of EV carbon credits. Hey, what else is new? At taxpayer expense, it's a heads-I-win, tails-you-lose, if you think about it. Not only do the cronies get a big payoff for their bribes, or influence, if you prefer the more PC Kool-Aid drinker term, but it helps implement the totalitarian globalist agenda at the same time. And while the details are fascinating, the bottom line goes something like this. Tesla, he says, is a huge beneficiary of an improper, no legal basis Biden-sponsored subsidy. And the massive scandal is even somewhat reminiscent of the so-called diesel emissions cheating scandal that rocked Germany. And the contrast there, folks, is educational as well, because VW actually was providing cars that did pass all of the specified tests, whether the testers liked the way they did it or not. And furthermore, they were good cars, and they had lots higher gas mileage than things that are being subsidized today. And no, VW wasn't sucking at the public teat to do it either. This time, though, the Biden regime and the Department of Energy, SIC, colluded to rig estimated gas mileage from various EVs. And that's precisely different from VW rigging a test how? Oh, I know. It's all about who gets away with it and who doesn't. For example, a Tesla that gets the equivalent of 65 miles per gallon, and as an engineer, I actually find that questionable, but hey, let's move on, receives tax credits as if instead the vehicle got 430 miles per gallon. And ain't that grand if you're on the receiving end of the newly printed bucks. The Wall Street Journal comments thusly on the EV cheating scandal, saying they believe it's hard to think of a worse environmental scandal. Oh, no, it's not, folks. In recent years, than Volkswagen's 2015 cheating when it comes to diesel emissions. And that right there tells you that they're drinking a whole bunch of Bud Light. But let's let that slide for now because it goes beyond the scope of what we're talking about here. The automaker was pursued by regulators, enforcement agencies, and class action lawyers. Ended up with Volkswagen paying an estimated $33 billion in fines and financial settlements. Hey, that's a hell of a lot more than anybody that killed somebody with the Zyklon B, isn't it? And all they did was produce a car that people wanted to buy. And it turns out, guess what? You can't buy those cars anymore. Ain't that convenient? What do you bet there's folks freezing in their EVs all over the country that really wish they could have had a VW diesel instead? But when it comes to electric cars, the Wall Street Journal finally gets around to admitting, Big Brother has a cheating scandal of its own. Under an Energy Department rule, car makers can arbitrarily multiply the efficiency of electric cars, as opposed to any cars that actually are able to drive, say, in the winter or the summer, and be refueled in less than maybe a couple of days during the wintertime, like now. They can multiply that efficiency by 6.67, which means that although a 2022 Tesla Model Y tests at the equivalent of 65 miles per gallon in a lab, about the same as a hybrid, it counts as having an absurdly high compliance value of 430 mpg, which, they note correctly, has absolutely no basis in either reality or even law. And until recently, that subsidy was a Washington secret, and you can guess why. But now it's out. Oh, and this is cute. The journal notes that the scandal is buried deep in the Federal Register. Are you sitting down? Page 36,987 of volume 65, to be a bit more precise. Because after environmental groups, and this must be the real kind as opposed to the fake, pointed out how this charade was illegal, the Energy Department proposed eliminating that multiplier for electric cars, recognizing that it, quote, lacks legal support and has, quote, no basis. And let's call it what it is. It's an illegal subsidy. So car makers panicked, and they asked the Biden-Fuhrer regime, somebody's pulling on those puppet strings, to delay any return to legal or engineering reality. The reason? Because without the multiplier, the Transportation Department's proposed rules are utterly, completely unattainable, and that's putting it mildly. But remember, we're talking about Big Brother here, and efficiency, law, none of that has any bearing on what they want to accomplish, which is to price you out of being able to travel, or ultimately even live. And they've already got enough other problems with people taking pictures of their dead EVs all over the northern winterscape. So you know what that means, and we'll talk about it in just a minute. More lies and, yeah, more mandates. This next item is not only somehow or other obviously related, but also smacks of tell me something I don't know, but at least we're thankful to finally hear about it. Jim Jordan, chairman of the House Select Committee on the Weaponization of Big Brother, a.k.a. the federal government, on Wednesday announced that it had obtained documents revealing that so-called federal agencies, i.e. the three-letter tyrannies, have flagged financial transactions for financial institutions for people, that would be American people, using politically sensitive and now almost verboten words like MAGA or Trump. In a letter to Noah Bischoff, formerly FinCEN director, that's the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, unless, of course, you're talking about Hunter and the cronies of the Biden crime family, in which case, oh, I don't know. The guy is now the anti-money laundering, yeah, sure, officer at fintech company Plaid Inc. And Jordan describes situations in which Americans buying, for example, Bibles or shopping at sporting goods stores, oh yeah, you know what they might be looking at there, just might find their transactions flagged. Said the committee, this kind of pervasive financial surveillance carried out in coordination with and at the request of federal law enforcement, sick, into Americans' private transactions is alarming, gee, do you think? And it raises serious concerns about the FBI's respect, what a joke, for fundamental civil liberties, unquote. Did we not know that before? I guess now what we know is it's even worse than most Americans were ever willing to admit or could have believed possible. Said Jim Hansen, correctly, this is one of the most egregious violations of our Constitution I can ever recall. The federal government is enlisting financial institutions. This is called a public-private partnership, folks. And if you remember fascism in Nazi Germany, you've seen it before. They're enlisting these fascist public-private partners, in other words, to spy on citizens with the sole justification that they are political opponents. Tell me something we don't know. As we head towards Satanic Conference Center in Davos, we take a quick stop along the way at Vatican City, where LifeSite News tells us the following, that Pope Satan himself, a.k.a. Francis, has sent a message of praise to those tyrannical world government Satanists there at the WEF, as well as its founder, Klaus Schwab, writing that the group's annual meeting in Davos is, quote, an important opportunity in the wider attempt to, quote, explore innovative and effective ways to build a better world, unquote. And why not a Reich that will this time really last for 1,000 years? Quote, it's my hope, then, he continued, that the participants in this year's forum will be mindful of the moral responsibility, yeah, to your master, and hint, hint, it's not the one that wrote the Bible, that each of us has in the fight against poverty. Whoa, whoa, full stop. Okay, we know the guy's a communist, and they want you to eat bugs, and you will own nothing, and you had better like it. And that doesn't constitute poverty? No, not when you're talking about a different master, it doesn't. There is, in fact, he said, a fundamentally moral dimension involved in this process of globalization. I kid you not. Anybody else remember when they at least pretended that moral had something to do with the written word of the Creator? The LifeSite News can't help but note, isn't this funny? The so-called leader of Roman Catholicism worldwide didn't bother in his missive to mention certain words. Words, they said, like Christ, or even Catholicism, and normally they're big on that one, or the role of the Catholic Church in this new world order, but instead simply highlighted the role of the WEF in the global future. And what do you bet, folks, he didn't mention the Mark of the Beast either. And here I turn quickly to another piece from Rebel News, written by a fellow, Avi Yemeni, who self-describes as a Jew, and that makes it kind of interesting. Is there anything, he begins, that you cannot say at the World Economic Forum meeting here in Davos, Switzerland? Well, you can promote communism. The WEF, as everyone knows, says, quote, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You can promote fascism, which is in fact the working definition of Klaus Schwab's belief in the merger of big business and big brother. You can certainly promote drug use. Yuval Noah Harari says video games and drugs are the future of mankind. And yes, you can even promote Islamic terrorism, and he gives some examples. But one thing you can't talk about, and remember, folks, this is a self-described Jew saying this, one thing you can't talk about here in Davos is Jesus Christ. I know that, he says, because I saw police swarm a small group of people who'd come to hand out free literature about Christianity. They were expelled from the promenade. How disappointing, he said, and how disappointing that the enforcers of this censorship are the Swiss police, who have been so good, at least once were so good, about respecting freedom of speech. But maybe this shouldn't be surprising. With Klaus Schwab and his cast of villains taking over the town for a week, there's literally a whiff of sulfur in the fresh mountain air. I'm Jewish myself, says the author, which is why I believe deeply in freedom of religion. And these days, Christians are being persecuted around the world, from China to the Middle East. It's just a shame to see it at the World Economic Forum, too. But honestly, folks, if you've been paying attention, it isn't even remotely surprising. And as he put it, we're here in Davos trying to tell the stories the other media won't tell you about the WEF. This one, though, is getting some coverage, admittedly from the alternative press. The Gateway Pundit has a story up about Bill Gates, as does NewsAddicts.com. Both of them basically say that Bill Gates has now unveiled at the forum the next generation, his term of vaccines, which he boasts can bypass the need for consent. Oh, yeah, that's always gotten in the way, by vaccinating the general public without their knowledge, and certainly without their consent. He gloats that the new vaccines don't require injections. Isn't that convenient? Guess what, folks? We've seen other stories literally for years now suggesting that they've been working hard to put these things as innocuously as possible into anything that would have once been called food, whether it's vegetables that have been genetically modified to vaccinate you without your knowledge or consent, or certainly stuff that they're injecting into animals, especially pigs and others that aren't quite organic by any definition that used to apply. And they also, he said, have longer duration and more coverage, as if shedding spike proteins wasn't already a lot of coverage. Another story from the alternative press about a forum at the World Center for Satanism, where a panelist at the Davos meeting made the claim that animal husbandry, i.e. farming, ranching, and so forth, as well as fishing, are on a par with murder and genocide. He called it ecocide and is actively working to see these practices criminalized. Oh, yeah, no meat for you, nothing but bugs, and you already knew that, didn't you? Jojo Mehta, co-founder and chief executive officer of Stop Ecocide International, made the comments on Tuesday the 16th during a discussion called Where Nature Meets Conflict. And one thing you know for sure, they ain't welcoming the God of the Bible into that discussion. The WEF wrote in their description for the chat that, quote, nature and climate crises, sick, impact food and water security, fueling displacement and humanitarian emergencies, and exacerbating risks to global peace and stability. So they want to know, just how do we integrate the nature security nexus? Are you getting sick of this load of BS masquerading as pseudoscientific crap? The nexus into decisions and investment mandates, there's that word again, to better respond to the needs of communities that are most vulnerable and most affected. I bet you they don't consider communities that are being invaded by foreign armies to be most vulnerable or most affected, do you? During the lecture, Mehta was asked what this ecocide that he keeps talking about is and how that needs to be factored into long-term policymaking. So the sycophants heard this. Right from their website. Ecocide is a word used to describe what is happening to our planet. Notice, folks, it's not your planet, it's theirs. The mass damage and destruction of the natural living world. It literally means killing one's home. And right now, in most of the world, no one is held responsible, unquote. And isn't it ironic? They aren't going to be held responsible, but they do intend to commit genocide. Said the organization and its spokesliar, it's time to change the rules. And asked how he intended to get this done, Matas said, legally speaking, our aim is to have this recognized legally as a serious crime, because one of the issues that pervades all of this discussion is that we have a culturally very ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take to people and property.
Are you crazy? Or just plain stupid?
Stupid is stupid does, Miss Blue.
I guess.
This, folks, from the people that intend to outlaw carbon dioxide and, yeah, breathing by animals and people and other living things. And they're just satanically evil enough, and I know that's an understatement, to claim that they're really concerned about ecocide, but when it comes to people injecting you and changing your DNA with mRNA poisons and putting it in the food and everywhere else, oh, we could care less about that, and you know, because they're speaking at Davos, they aren't about to be held responsible. What a bunch of lying, yep, I'll say it again, satanic hypocrites. And don't lose sight of the fact that everything they're talking about, even when they call it policy, is really a mandate. And it's do it or else. And we know where it leads to. Now, finally, this just goes to show you that every now and then, somebody will show up at Davos and actually be allowed to speak because maybe they can't muzzle them. And we've seen it before. We're seeing it again. This comes from the Tom Woods letter, and he notes that during their annual meeting at Davos, Argentine President Javier Milei was invited to speak, and oh boy, did he ever rise to the occasion. He delivered his remarks in Spanish, so here is an interpreter's translation, which means the text I'm quoting he said may be choppy and imperfect, but at least it gives you an idea of what was said. Good afternoon, he began. Thank you very much. I'm here today to tell you that the Western world is endangered, and it's endangered because those who are supposed to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, he continued, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others and motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. I bet the socialists gathered there didn't like this at all and probably, let's just say, they didn't like it at all. Okay. We are here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause. Notice he's probably pulling his punches a bit, but making the point. Given the dismal failure of collectivist models and the undeniable advances in the free world, socialists have been forced to change their agenda. They left behind the class struggle based on the economic system, and they've replaced this with other supposed social conflicts, which are just as harmful to life as a community and to economic growth. The first of these new battles, he continued, was the ridiculous and unnatural fight between man and woman. But all this radical feminism agenda has led to is greater state intervention to hinder the economic process, giving jobs to bureaucrats who have not contributed anything to society. Example, ministries of women or international organizations devoted to promoting this agenda. Another conflict, he said, introduced by socialists, is that of humans against nature, claiming that we human beings damage the planet, which should be protected at all costs. Yeah, especially for by killing human beings, and he added, going as far as advancing the population control mechanisms or the bloody abortion agenda. And unfortunately, these harmful ideas have taken a strong hold in our society. Neo-Marxists have managed to co-opt the common sense of the Western world, and this they have achieved by appropriating the media, culture, universities, and so on. The case of Argentina, he said, getting pretty close to home, is an empirical demonstration that no matter how rich you may be or how much you have in terms of natural resources or how skilled your population or how many gold bars you may have in the central bank, if you hinder trade, attack private property, well, the only possible fate is poverty. And today, he noted, states don't even need to directly control the means of production to control every aspect of the lives of individuals. They have tools like printing money, debt, subsidies, controlling the interest rate, price controls, and regulations to correct so-called market failures. And as a result, they can control the lives and the fates of millions of individuals. And that, folks, is the real crux of the matter. And it's at least a bit encouraging that some politician somewhere was elected in the world and is still able to speak truth to this kind of raw, naked, yep, I'll say it one final time, satanic evil power. And his final message is certainly good and inspiring. Don't be intimidated either by the political caste or by the parasites who live off the state. Don't surrender to a political class that only wants to stay in power, retain their privileges, and, oh yeah, I'll add one final thing. They haven't made a secret of this either. They intend to kill you. And on that score, folks, we really do see the core of the satanic agenda. They come but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Bear that in mind, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.